My guest at this time is Virginia Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith, a freshman representing the Old Dominion's 9th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee and its Investigations Subcommittee. We've talked to him a number of times as the panel looks into exactly how the Obama administration dealt with Solyndra, which received $535 million in taxpayer money but went bankrupt anyway. Also at issue here is the subordination of taxpayer dollars, meaning that private investors got their money back before the taxpayers did. This all leads up to tomorrow's hearing before the committee when Energy Secretary Dr. Stephen Chu will be testifying. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, glad to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Secretary Chu has basically said the buck stops with him on this. He hasn't gotten real specific about why that's the case or what his methodology was in going through these loan guarantee applications and awards. What do you think he needs to clarify most of all tomorrow?
Well, I think we need to take a look at the original process and see why they ignored a lot of red flags. Now, that being said, you know, it was a gamble originally, and one might be able to argue if they followed the proper or normal procedures, one might be able to argue sometimes those things happen. Then we get to the whole issue of the subordination, the fact that Solyndra was in trouble in the late fall of 2010. They continued to give money to them even when it looked like they weren't going to make it, and then told them they would subordinate in December and actually got that done in February in what I believe is clear violation of the law. And I want to hear some answers as to why, you know, his department allowed that to happen, again, ignoring red flags and outright advice from other agencies that said, hey, we don't think you can do this. Maybe you ought to check with Justice. And in a separate violation of the law, once there was a default, and the memo that said they thought they could subordinate said there was a default in December of 2010, why wasn't the law followed and the Attorney General notified of the default?
What has been the response from the Energy Department? I know you've had other officials testify that did not give answers that were satisfactory to you, at least, on the issue of subordination. What other documentation have you gotten from the department, or a foreshadowing, if any, from Secretary Chu about what he's ready to discuss openly and which issues may not get the answers, at least in specificity, that you want?
Well, I fear that Secretary won't answer a lot of the subordination questions, may defer as others have, like Mr. Silver did, and said, well, I'm not a lawyer, and our lawyer said we could do this. But clearly, when the law says that you aren't supposed to, I think you have a higher duty to investigate, to maybe get a separate opinion. And there's some things that I think will come out tomorrow that will indicate that there were additional red flags that have yet to come out that should have warned, if not the secretary, people who were supposed to give him information so he wouldn't do something that he's not supposed to. They didn't do that, apparently. Something happened. I'd like to find out how involved he was, and if he's deferring to his attorneys, I'd like to have them in front of the committee as well.
In addition to the subordination issue, the way that the president has responded to this is to basically say that investments inherently carry some sort of risk. Some investments work, some investments don't. Unfortunately, this one didn't. Others that we've done have. Is that a satisfactory answer in terms of how this loan guarantee program went forward?
I don't think it is satisfactory because I think that based on market conditions, they should have been able to predict that this was not a good investment. But even if you get past the 535 and you use that as your free spin, get out of jail free card on the 535 initial investment, there is no way that they didn't know that Solyndra was going under when they did the subordination in February of 2011. Every indication was they were going down. They hadn't met the terms of the original loan. They'd had to restructure it and do something that the law said they weren't supposed to do. And they knew that market conditions were not going to change adequately to change that. It looks like they were just kicking the can down the road in hopes that this would get into 2012 before they had a major problem. And then they could just say, well, the Republicans are just raising this as an election year issue. This is not just an election year issue. This is about acting callously and irresponsibly and in violation of the law when they did that subordination. And I think we need some answers.
In terms of other firms that have since been in the news for either going bankrupt or heading in that direction, the total overall, I think, is somewhere in the neighborhood of about $2 billion now. Have you had the chance to look into those as well? Are we seeing similar circumstances surrounding those firms, if you have?
Well, I don't know enough about those other firms to comment. The other one that's actually filed bankruptcy does appear to be a slightly different situation. It may be a legitimate, you know, hey, investments have risks situation. So I don't want to paint them all with the same brush. But I do think we have to get the answers on Solyndra because they're very disturbing. The loose ends, the contradictions between different people in the Department of Energy that we found in the emails and in some of their statements indicate to me that something is not right, and it's our job to investigate, and we're going to do it to the fullest of our ability. But I don't think you can paint all the companies that got these loans with the same brush. That being said, we are going to be taking a close look at it because now we have very serious concerns.
One more question before we let you go, Congressman, and it's a slightly different topic, but it still relates to energy. Obviously, the president's focus in these programs and others has been towards a renewable energy economy and so forth, and he's had comments in the past that suggest he'd like to move away from a coal-based energy economy. I know there's a regulation that's been debated and is on the books unless it's repealed to greatly crack down on the amount of coal dust in the air that some critics say would basically lead to rolling blackouts due to the reliance on coal for electricity across the country. You represent a very heavy coal area of Virginia. Tell us a little bit more about this regulation and what you think the impact would actually be.
Well, across the board, the EPA is doing everything they can to shut down coal mining, coal being used, and I do believe that long term, if we continue to go in that direction, even if we don't have rolling blackouts, we are going to cripple America's industries in being able to compete with our foreign competitors because we won't use the affordable energy source that we have in this country, coal, natural gas, but we're more than happy to ship it to China and let them use our coal to make the products that we used to manufacture in our businesses. So they're getting our jobs using our coal, and they put all that into the air without even the reasonable regulations that we already have in effect, but that's not good enough. The EPA wants to see us completely go away from this, and in the process, while their intentions may be good, they're killing American jobs.
Congressman, we'll certainly be on the lookout to see how the hearings proceed tomorrow. Thank you, sir, for giving us a great preview.
Hey, thank you.
Virginia Republican Congressman Morgan Griffith represents his state's 9th Congressional District, member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee and its Investigations Subcommittee. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.